Hey everyone, welcome to the Period Party. I'm Nicole.
Hi everybody, it's Nat here.
And on this episode, we're talking to my friend, Bex Baruki. She is the founder of Bex Life and the Blissed In Wellness Movement. She's a mother of five, TV host, meditation guide, author, speaker, birth doula, fitness and yoga instructor, and popular social media personality. Is she ever? Her first book, You Have 4 Minutes to Change Your Life, is coming out this month, and we're so pumped to talk to her about it today on the show. Welcome, Bex.
Thank you for having me.
I had a question. Do you have time to go to the toilet?
I have to tell you, I posted on social media this morning that I wrote my newsletter from the bathroom. So
I can see why. I can see why. That is pretty incredible woman, which is awesome. We love that. But I'm like, yeah, I don't know that she has time to poop in amongst all of that. So obviously you have 5 kids and more than one business. Mm-hmm. And you've written a book about, the crux of it is about meditation.
It is.
Tell me now you have time to meditate.
Well, the book is called You Have 4 Minutes to Change Your Life, and it's based on my 4 minute meditation method. So that's how I get it in. I meditate at just a few minutes at a time, several times throughout the day to kind of just manage all that crazy that you just heard about in my bio.
So is it like when the kids are driving you nuts, you just like shut down, mom's powered down for 4 minutes and then powers back up again?
That's exactly what it's like. I have left the dinner table many a times when food was flying and kids were screaming and crying and said, I just need a minute. And I walk into the other room. I take 10 to 15 deep lung inhales and exhales. And then I return because, I mean, the thing is like, I want to show up in the world for them in the best way possible. And to do that, I have to take these breaks. Otherwise, I would just be a crazy person.
Yeah.
Wouldn't we all?
I can say that.
That's a fact. Not like if I were to have 5 kids, but I think that if we didn't take time, we'd all be crazy. So there's that. So tell us a little bit more about this whole 4 minutes to change your life. What does that even mean exactly? Because I think that meditation is still a little esoteric for a lot of people in the world outside of the health and wellness bubble that we live in. So talk to us about that one.
I define meditation a little bit differently than most people would imagine it to be defined. So I think it is simply a way to check in with yourself, to realign yourself with your intention or your goal or whatever you're trying to accomplish in that moment, that day, whatever. And then also to connect with yourself and have a conversation with yourself about whatever's happening in the moment. And really, I mean, it's something that I said in the book, paraphrasing, because I wrote this so long ago that I could hardly remember what I wrote.
You were just talking about that, right? Book publishing industry.
It takes forever. But it's really just a way to say, hey, I see you, I hear you, I acknowledge that you're a thinking, feeling person, and I'm here to listen. That's all meditation is. So that can happen in 1 minute, 4 minutes, in 20 minutes. So just get it when you can. I use 4 minutes. It was a little bit of an SEO strategy thing coming from my old fitness days when I was making 4 minute high intensity workouts. But it's really just a touch point for people. And it also releases people from that anxiety of thinking they have to do it for a long time or find time when they feel like they don't have any. So that's what it is. And changing your life is just about changing your mindset. And that can happen in the time it takes to snap your fingers, to just say, I'm making the decision to take care of myself. And when you make that decision and your words and your actions follow that decision, you have changed your whole life in an instant.
No doubt.
Amazing. Love it. So how did you come across, you said obviously back in your fitness days and whatever, when did you start to meditate? How did it become your thing?
It started with shoplifting.
That's always a good juicy backstory.
I'll bring it back a little bit further. I grew up in a very religious/spiritual household where prayer was very important. Having conversations with God was very important. And my mother told me that not only did God love me as is, as I was, but I had a direct connection to God where my thoughts were always heard, my voice was always heard, and He always had time for me. So from the time I was a very little girl, I felt very powerful and supported with my own voice, and I was very expressive. So that was a big gift that my mother gave me. Fast forwarding to 15 years old, I was working in a used bookstore with my mother. So we were very religious, but it didn't keep me from shoplifting. I was working in a used bookstore, and I found a copy of Be Here Now by Ram Dass, which is a classic, and everyone should go and get it. And I was captivated by the beautiful cover and the hand-drawn images inside. And I was flipping through the pages, and I had no money, but I had to have it, so I took it. And it completely changed my life. It opened me up to new philosophies, new ways of looking at God and spirituality and my connection to all that is. And that's where I shifted. I didn't call it that at that time, but I shifted from a prayer practice, which happened all day, every day. I was always in conversation with my higher power, to a practice of looking within. So I have been meditating every single day from the time I was 15. So that's going on 24 years now. Yikes. I can't believe I just said that.
You just said it, Bex.
Oh my gosh.
Oh my God. We know how old you are now. Yikes.
That's awesome.
I love that story. It's such a great story. I know. You little shoplifter, you.
But let me tell you, I have purchased at least a dozen or more copies of this book for family members, my own teenagers, and I recommend it all the time. So please, people, go out and absolve me of my sin and buy many copies of this
book. We have no doubt that that will happen.
Is the bookstore still there?
It is still there, and it's
you just need to go and give them $1.50, and all will be well in the world.
I think it was $5 or something, but I have the book though, and it's well worn and well loved, so I think that he would forgive me.
I believe that too.
Yeah.
I mean, speaking of lots of books, there are obviously a ton of self-help meditation books out there. I've read many more than should be legal. I'm just curious, what makes yours different? Why will people be interested in yours over another book?
Because I'm different. And what you just said when we first started talking about meditation being so esoteric and so inaccessible to quote unquote real people, first of all, it isn't true. There's lots of like very cool, down to earth, awesome people meditating every day and changing their lives with it and managing their lives with it. But there really isn't a voice, or there hasn't been a voice that I've found that's like mine. You know, I'm this mom from Jersey, from South Jersey, which is like the worst of Jersey. I mean the best. You know, South Jersey came from a very poor working class family. I'm just trying to manage my everyday with the tools that I've been given, and quite frankly, not so many tools. And the way that I've really brought myself up from a place of poverty, from abuse, from neglect, I'm proud of it. And I think that I have a lot to offer women who are in a place where they feel like they might be an outsider, or they might not be, you know, being heard, or they don't have leaders or gurus or teachers that speak to them. So I'm here for them. I speak their language, well, some people's language, and that's who my people are. And that's who I want to, you know, connect with this book.
That is seriously, I know, I was going to say that actually. You brought up something that I was just thinking about in terms of people who have grown up in a really hard, you just had a really hard childhood or had a really hard life and don't feel like this is something that will help them. Do you have anything to say about that? I feel like you probably have a lot to say about that.
Well, my core message is that all of the things that we define success, you know, by, like financial success, happiness, being in love with your body, being in love with your life, having the relationship you want, feeling worthy, all of those things are for everyone. Like, you know, the universe, God, whatever you want to call it, doesn't dangle a carrot. That's not the way the world works. It's really about us opening up ourselves, opening up our hearts, breaking it open, getting rid of that muck, those layers of doubt and unworthiness that we've covered our hearts with, removing that. And then when we do that, the abundance comes flooding in. And I know that all sounds like totally woo-woo. I don't even know why I worded it like that, but it's really what it is. And And it's what I've discovered in my life. I had a lot of people in my life tell me that I wasn't good enough. And I came from a place that was forgotten and underserved and looked down upon. And even by virtue of my skin color, I was, you know, placed as an outsider and called names and ridiculed and rejected by my peers and my classmates. And all of those things, when I decided that they weren't going to limit me, kind of disappeared. Like all of those obstacles became not obstacles when I decided that they weren't going to get in my way. And I saw the abundance of the universe come flooding into me. It's not that every day is awesome and that I still don't have jerks and trolls and whatever trying to get in my way and trip me up, but I know that they're small in comparison to the power that I have supporting me and pushing me along. So, and that's true for everybody, everybody.
Mm-hmm. What about those people that sit there and say, you know, how do you enroll people into that? Because there's a lot of people that would say, oh yeah, you know what? You make it look really easy. You've obviously had all of the, you know, everything's gone your way. How do you, because I find it's about finding that little bit of, you know, obviously something that resonates with them. So what would you say to those people?
I'm a little bit of a tough love person.
Yes,
so when people want to offer a lot of criticism without trying it, I just offer up to them the question, well, how's that working for you? So when they say that my way doesn't work, I ask them if their way is working better, because usually when they're coming to me or even when they're critical of me, it's because they're in a place where I was. And I have had no advantage. Like I really have not, other than I'm tall and I'm sometimes funny. But those are like the only tools that I think that I've taken and used to my advantage. I ask them how it's working for them. And then I say, try it. Before you want to diss it, just try it. Just take some time, try a mantra, get down with me, watch one of my videos, engage with me in a live conversation. And we'll see if I can, I usually change their mind. I don't really have many people, you know, stick around and then it not work for them. Because it's so simple, because all I'm doing is just repeating a truth that I know to be true and that I believe. I didn't invent this. I didn't invent meditation or connection or spirituality or any of that. It's just, I'm a facilitator of the message.
Yeah.
Oh, so you're trying to tell us you're not enlightened yet either.
not as of 7:05 PM.
Because obviously, you know, people can look at what they see in the media and on social media especially, and they look and they're like, oh well, what would you actually know? Like, you know, it's all perfect for you and it's so not for me. And obviously that's not, like you're saying, we all have days that are better than others, and you know, we all have times where, you know, even our own advice is hard to take.
If anything in my life was perfect, I wouldn't be meditating. I tell people I meditate because I'm batshit crazy, because I have all this chaos. Can I say that? I'm sorry.
That's okay.
But and enlightenment, and this is just an opinion of mine. It's not anything that I know, but I believe that when someone becomes truly enlightened, they just aren't on this planet anymore. I think that we're here to have a human experience. And as a human, you are flawed. And as a human, you make mistakes. So my goal has never been enlightenment. I like to get closer to living a more enlightened life and making more enlightened decisions. But I'm really reveling in the mania that is my life. I love the chaos that's my household. I love that it's loud and it's messy and I yell sometimes and I cry sometimes and the kids hate me sometimes. It's all good, because I know that I can handle anything because I have a deep connection to my truth and I know who I am and I know where I'm going. So enlightenment is like, it could be cool for some. It's not something that I'm aspiring to.
Call BS on anybody who says they're enlightened anyways.
Whatever. Well, I think the enlightened people don't say they're enlightened. I think that that's like...
Yeah, there's that too.
That's true.
So, like, speaking of kids, first of all, tell us how old your kids are, because that I find amazing too. That
is this like a math test? Because hold on, let me think for a second.
We need a moment, people.
So I, okay. Their ages are 19, and she's in college. Bless her. I love her. 19, 17, almost 14, almost 6, and 2.
Yeah. Oh, my goodness. You went back for a 2-year-old after all of that. That is impressive.
And she is the worst. Let me tell you, if there is a God who is speaking to me, he is saying, here's the last one. Stop it. Just stop it.
Would you have had 5 if she was first?
Are you kidding me? There's no way. My first one, Winona, my oldest, I could literally set her on a shelf and just leave her and she wouldn't move. Like, she was an angel child. She was quiet. I could take her anyway. She's still the best. Like, she's still so easy. No teen drama, has never talked back to me. Like, she's awesome. The fifth one is killing me slowly. It's so bad.
She's only 2, Bex. Like, what happens when she's 15? Are you kidding?
I don't know. Everyone's like, oh, she's going to be a strong, independent woman. And I'm like, I can deal with her not being a strong, independent woman if it means her being quiet right now.
So I feel like I'm talking to myself. In saying that, then you therefore wrote, because obviously we just discussed before we were alive that it takes time to publish a book, and yeah, that you were obviously writing when she was really little.
Mm-hmm. I was pregnant when I got the deal. Yeah, when I was pregnant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. Yeah, yeah. I can resonate with that, and to any working mother out there, they can probably relate. But I feel like when they're little, like really little, you have time. It's once they get to being 2 and then above that you're like, well, there's not as much time. There's lots, you know, but you've obviously got other children to factor in as well. So tell us also, do they meditate? Do you get that? Is the whole family on board, or are you just out there on your own meditating while they, like, it's everything's chaos in the background?
Well, the way that I talk to kids about meditation, or talk to my kids about meditation, I'm actually leading one for kids at my church in a couple weeks, so I'm very excited about that. Mm-hmm. Is from an approach of just stop, pause, think about what you're doing, think about what's going on in the moment, and think about what you want to do. Like, what is your goal for the conversation, for your next action, whatever. There's a show, I don't know if they have it in Australia, it's called Daniel Tiger, and it's based on Mr. Rogers' Neighborhood. And there's a little song that he sings. I'm a mom. I don't get out much. But there's a song he sings.
I'm cracking up. I have no idea.
I'm gonna sing for you. So it's a little song. Thank and he you. Says, he says, when you feel so mad that you wanna roar, take a deep breath and count to 4. 1, 2, 3, 4. And that is a meditation. That's stopping, focusing on your breath, recognizing what's happening in the moment, pausing before you return. And that's basically what I do with my kids. It's like when I can hear them starting to bicker and it's starting to, like, it's elevating and it's getting heated, I'll say, all right, guys, stop. Think about what's happening right now. Think about what you want to happen. Is the thing that you're about to say going to improve the outcome of this conversation, or is it going to make it worse? Just think and breathe. And that's a meditation. That's a way to practice connecting with yourself and having communication with yourself. And it works. Yeah. And I see them now starting to do that, removing themselves from a situation instead of engaging, taking time to just be with themselves instead of distracting themselves with stimulus. So that's all that it is for the rest of your life. So it might be, again, a minute, it might be 10, it might be an hour, whatever you can get, take, please use your spare time to your advantage. But yeah, it's easy to get kids to be mindful.
Okay. I just wanted to say really quickly, I just think it's so funny when parents mention these really obscure things that non-parents know nothing about.
It's not obscure. It's very big.
Subculture that I have no access to whatsoever until I have a child. That was amazing. And also, that should be like the theme song for your book, no?
It could be. I'm afraid no one's going to buy the book after this conversation because I feel like we're just hanging out having a private girl talk.
That's unfortunately what this is.
That's why they're going to buy the book. Yeah. They're going to be like, what a bit of that. And they're all, you know, all the mums in the whatever you call it, the airwaves.
On the airwaves.
On the airwaves. Is that what my mum would say?
Okay, now. Oh my gosh. We're getting up there in age.
Yeah, I know.
So, okay, I really like that. I love what you said about your kids, and again, I think it's just creating awareness. So, and that's all mm-hmm. that's the best you can hope for with kids, I think, these days. What about crying during meditation? You mentioned that, and I thought that was a really good one because there's a lot of times when I meditate, and I'm really sure that I'm not crying, but I have these sort of my eyes are all watery and like tears kind of come out, but I'm like really not crying. Maybe okay. I am crying and I don't know.
Okay. So I actually talk about this in the book, and it's a visualization meditation that I've used since I was 11 years old. It was one of my counselors, because I did struggle with anxiety and depression from a very young age. And I talk all about it in the book. But when I was 11, I had an amazing counselor named Cesar Colon, and he told me that I was like a soda bottle. And when I would get upset, it was like I was shaking up my bottle and the bubbles were rising to the top and they wanted to come out. And unless I twisted the cap and let it out slowly, I would explode. Mm. Or another consequence is, and what a lot of people do, is that they don't twist the cap and they don't explode, but they let the bubbles settle back down and get reabsorbed into their little soda body. So the anxiety, the stuff you're worried about, all that stuff, it's not going anywhere. It's just getting reabsorbed. You think it's gone, but it's still there. And when you meditate, you're just twisting that cap a little bit. That stuff wants to come out. So if you have sadness that's buried down deep, if you have anger, resentment, even if you have joy, like meditation doesn't always have to be for like bad stuff. It could be for releasing good stuff too. When you have joy, it just pushes out, and tears are a way to release that energy. So when people are like, I'm crying during meditation, and I get this every day, and I got it twice today in YouTube comments, is it normal? And I'm like, that means it's working. Yes, lots of crying, maybe a little nausea, whatever comes is totally okay. Like, don't judge it. Just be like, wow, that's cool. I wonder what that's about. Always approach anything that happens during meditation and in life with curiosity rather than judgment. Don't worry about it. It's all good.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I love that.
Oh, sorry, Nat, go ahead.
No. Oh, good. I do love that, because, you know, there's no one way that it's going to present for people. There's no one right way, is there?
No, so, not at all.
Yeah, so with that, how do you know what's your right way? How do you tap into what is your right way of meditating?
Okay. You don't have to feel something. It doesn't have to do anything. You don't have to like see bright lights and feel enlightened or whatever. It's really about just taking you out of whatever is causing chaos for you in the moment and removing yourself from that situation and finding a little bit of peace. So if you can just slow your breath a little bit just by observing your inhales and exhales as they are, because when you observe something, it changes naturally and on its own. So if you just feel that slowing of the breath, if you feel just a little bit refreshed and you go, okay, I can go back and deal with this, then it's working. I mean, that's the point. The point of meditation, for some, it might be enlightenment, but for me, it's about navigating the life that we've been given and to be able to do the things that we were put here to do. And for me, it's taking care of my kids, paying my bills, showing up for my Facebook audience, doing a podcast. I mean, like, you don't even want to know what was happening before I got online with you guys right now in my house. I mean, I was arguing with my husband about Valentine's Day invitations, and the kids were stealing chocolate that was supposed to go in the goodie bags, and it's like everybody was screaming, and I'm like, 30 minutes, I'm going to record, silence, please. And then I come upstairs, 2 minutes before we started, took my deep breaths, organized my thoughts, closed my eyes, and it was like instant magic. Like, I'm ready for you guys.
We would never have known the chaos that ensued before this. That is really impressive.
It's nuts. It's nuts all the time.
Okay. I have like one other question as well. I was just thinking about this. This is another thing that I struggle with, and maybe it's because I'm completely sleep deprived. Who knows? But I do find that when I meditate, I just kind of want to go to sleep. And I find that I yawn a lot. Mm-hmm. I'm just curious about what your take is on that.
You're tired. Oh, that's it.
Shucks.
But also, I mean, you know from the work that you do, when you start creating energy shifts in your body, a yawn doesn't always mean that you're tired. It's just stuff that's moving around. I encourage people to find a meditation posture that works for them. Mm-hmm. However, that being said, unless your intention is to fall asleep, I don't love the lying down meditation or reclined meditation. I want people, whether sitting in a chair or cross-legged on the floor in their, or their bed, to sit up nice and tall so that there is a straight line from the crown of their head down to their seat. And on, you know, the woo-woo tip, it allows energy to flow freely from, you know, outside through all the way through your body, down to your seat and back out again. And on a practical tip, it just keeps you energized and alert and aware. So good posture, please, when meditating, and keep it active. You don't have to be loose all over the place, like loosey goosey. I like to keep, you know, my muscles and my abdomen in working in coordination with my breath. So when I inhale, I let my belly get very loose and soft. And when I exhale, I contract a little bit and I bring my belly button in. And that keeps me most of the time from falling asleep.
Good to I love that. I have to say, Nicole, you reminded me, one time I did a yoga class and I could not stay awake. I kept falling asleep in between. It was a yin yoga class. And every time I was like just sitting there and I was like so like blissed out, but then I kept like jolting, like, you know, when you fall asleep and then you
That is so stressful. I can't bear it. Yeah, that totally happened to me in many yin yoga classes.
Oh my gosh, God. It's just the jolt that then you're like, what? And then, you know, at some point I'm sure there's dribble coming out the corner of your mouth. It's like far out. Anyway,
okay, it's good to know yourself, Nat.
I need to talk to you ladies because I'm wondering why you're so tired and why.
Yeah. No kidding.
Seriously. I'm feeling pretty good right now and I have a lot going on. So we need to talk about that.
I feel pretty good too. That's the thing. It's only during meditation. It's so strange. I just start to yawn a lot. I don't know that it gets me really, really tired. Like I can't get up or anything like that. Mm. I just yawn a lot. And my eyes get all watery. Again, I don't know. I'm going to have to explore this some more. I'll get back to you.
You know what? I'll own being tired. I'm on tour. It's tiring. It's so tiring. But that's okay. You know, it's just part of it, isn't it? It's not forever. It's just for a bit, though. Bex, we're out of time, and I would love to talk about why I'm so tired more, and just because, you know, we all love to talk about ourselves, let's be honest. I'm joking. But we're out of time. So, you know, can you let us know where our audience can find you, please?
Yes. Visit me at bexlife.com, bexlife.com. Connect with me on social media. You'll find all the links there for my book and everything. And I love, 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 love talking to people. I'm addicted to social media. So definitely reach out to me and I will say hello.
Awesome. I'm gonna find you. I'm gonna go and find you and stalk you now because I feel like I need a bit more of you in my life. For everybody else, don't forget to head back to the previous podcast to, you know, for more information about what we're speaking about today. And it's really important to Nicole and I if you could rate the podcast for us because that helps us to continue to create more of what we're doing. So it only takes 3 seconds and we're totally sure you can do that. Thanks everybody today for joining and I'm going to say bye.
Thank you. Bye, Bex.
Bye-bye. Thank you.